ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
They didn't stop three-quarters of a way, or, you know, nine-tenths of the way. They finished the work that God had called them to do. The enemy was going to be destroyed. That tells me that Gideon had faith in what God had promised him. The victory against the Midianites. God was going to bring it to pass as long as Gideon was going to walk by faith. Paul in Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14, said, "Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Press on. We get overwhelmed at times. It's tough. You know, what's the use again? Nothing's changing. There's nothing goes different. I'm just going to stop. And the enemy's messing with our minds. I've told you this before. If I was not absolutely 100% sure that God had called me into the ministry, I would have been gone long ago. All the things, you know, friends who, you know, were really close to me who just turned from me. That's hard. But the thing is, God said, "I will never forsake you." Emotionally, it's very devastating. And you guys know that as well. You've experienced that. But when you know your calling, you know what God has called you to do. Nothing's going to move you from the course that God has set. You know, that's what Paul told the Ephesian elders at Miletus before he was going to Jerusalem, right? And wherever he went, they said, "Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. It's going to be tough there. You're going to be in trouble. Don't go there." Paul said, "None of these things move me. I know what God has called me to do. I know where I'm supposed to go. I know it's going to be tough." But God needed to get Paul to Jerusalem to get him on a free trip to Rome on a prisoner ship. It's probably not the ideal way to go, but that's how God did it. It's easy when things are overwhelming in our lives. But I look at some of the things in the past. Winston Churchill, he gave this and I'm only going to read one part of the speech. And he said this. He said to these students that he was speaking to, "Never give in, never give in, never, 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 never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force, never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy." When Germany was fighting against them and things looked overwhelming to them, like there was no way out, Churchill never gave up. He forged ahead. And that's what we have to do. You know, we look at, again, our nation and, you know, we think, how are we going to make a difference? I'm just one person, or there's a few of us, or, you know, the church is not doing what it's supposed to be doing. Hey, God doesn't need a lot of people. He had 300 men against 135,000. 300. And they didn't even have swords with them, I don't think, when they went first into battle. Because the Midianites were killing each other, remember? A trumpet in one hand, a little bowl in another with a torch in it. And when Gideon blew the trumpet, they were to blow their trumpets, break the little container, bring the torch out, and it would just explode into a bright light. And the Midianites saw it, and they were just confused. They thought they were surrounded, and they started killing each other. Never give in. Never give up. Trust in the Lord. You never surrender, because God is on our side. I think it's so important. for us, especially in the days that we're living in. Can we have an impact? And I think we have to start in, you know, our Jerusalem, in our homes, with our family, with our friends. Then moving out a little bit, our neighbors or our coworkers. And then what about moving out even further, supporting missionaries? Or maybe God's calling you to go forward and be a missionary. You see, we can make a difference. Do you realize that when a sinner becomes a saint, when someone comes to saving faith, the angels are rejoicing in heaven? How cool is that? I mean, think about it. They're rejoicing. So should we. That's an exciting thing. And we'll see rebellion defeated. That's our next point. Look at verse 13 here in Judges chapter 8. Then Gideon, the son of Joash, returned from battle, from the ascents of hares, and he caught a young man of the men of Succoth and interrogated him. And he wrote down for him the leaders of Succoth and its elders, 77 men. Then he came to the men of Succoth and said, "Here are Zeba and Zalmunna, about whom you ridiculed me, saying, 'Are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in your hand, that we should give bread to your weary men?' And he took the elders of the city and the thorns of the wilderness and briars, and with them he taught the men of Succoth. Then he tore down the tower of Penuel and killed the men of the city." So after Gideon finishes his defeat of the Midianites, he goes back to the cities that refused to help him and his men, giving them food to eat as they were hungry from this battle. And Gideon warned him. He said, "Well, after I defeat the enemy, not might, but after I do, I'm going to be back to punish you guys." And the leaders of Succoth, he whipped or scourged them with thorns and briars. Many feel that it was so severe that these leaders died. The leaders of Penuel, he goes after them. They're hiding in a tower for safety, and Gideon brings down the tower, killing these men. Now you think, well, how does that relate to us as Christians? Are we supposed to kill these people? No, obviously not. That would not be a Christian thing to do. We don't hurt our brothers and sisters in the Lord, even if they're not doing what's right. So what do we glean from this? Well, remember, with this group of people, they weren't there to help us. In fact, they're trying to thwart what we're trying to do, put a stop to it by discouraging us, coming against what we're doing. So what are we to do? We're to get out our weapon and use it. And the weapon is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And I'll give you an example. Over the years, and it hasn't been a lot of people, but there are some people who are very concerned because I don't have a theology degree. I don't have any religious degree, for that matter. And their concern is, well, what qualifications do you have to be a pastor? Well, yeah, I have no schooling, no degree. What are they? And the Lord showed me something that was really comforting to me, because obviously he called me to do this work. I didn't choose the ministry. Does it hurt when people think that I'm not qualified for ministry because I don't have a degree? Yeah, but I understand where they're coming from. And what I do is I go back to the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and I show them my qualifications. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, you know, when I heard the words about qualifications for ministry, and I said I had no theology degree, and I saw their faces like, "Oh, who are you?" The Lord brought me to Acts chapter 4. Peter and John are arrested for sharing Jesus and healing the lame man. And after Peter shares Jesus with the Sanhedrin, the Jewish religious leaders had an interesting response about these two guys, Peter and John. And in fact, in Acts 4:13, it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and preserved that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus." So here are these religious leaders. They went to school. They spent many hours learning. It was old Rabbi Yu, I think it was. I don't think they had a football team because they couldn't use pigskins, but you know what I mean, okay? Peter and John are fishermen, sorry. Peter and John are fishermen. Fishermen were uneducated, unlearned men. They didn't go to all the religious schooling. They didn't have any of that training. Yet, did they know the Old Testament scriptures? Sure, they knew them, but not like these religious leaders. And they saw Peter and John as uneducated and untrained men. And they marveled at that. How could this be? How could this happen? How could these untrained, uneducated men be telling us about God? And it's interesting what they also said. These guys who were so bright and so smart, they knew something was different with these guys. Peter and John had been with Jesus. Wow. There's the key. I used to joke about seminaries, and I do a slip of the tongue and say, call them cemeteries. And the reason I call them cemeteries is because most of these schools don't even believe in the foundational beliefs of the scriptures. And kids go there and they're learning this stuff, and they don't even have any faith because they're not teaching the truths of God found in the Word of God. And here in the 21st century, I think it's even worse. And again, if God's called you to go to a school, make sure that they're teaching the scriptures. That's great. I have no problem with that. For a theology school or really any school, whatever school you go to, be very careful. Because there is so much liberal teaching going on in the schools today. Years ago, and this is probably, 15 plus years ago, one of the members of our church, their daughter was going to UW, and the professor was telling her that the Holocaust never happened. There was no Holocaust. So she came home and told her mom and dad, and they had to re-educate her. This is going on in schools, okay? So you got to be careful. And what the Lord showed me is, look, he was going to teach me what I needed to learn. I'm still in school. It'll probably end when I die, but that's just all of us, right? We're all in school. We're all learning and growing in our faith, and we just need to stay close to Jesus. You know, I kind of love the way Jesus dealt with the religious leaders because they'd all come up with some issue, you know, and Jesus was I think he'd kind of be like this, boys, have you not read? In other words, you're the religious leaders. Haven't you read the scriptures? Don't you know what they say? And then he would take them back to the scriptures and show them, guys, you should know this. This is in the scriptures. That's how far away from God they had gotten. The verse that God gave me for this church when he brought me up here was Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. That's, you know, we have that played as our intro for our teaching program on the radio station. And it's also our, the sustaining word of the day, we also have that music. Because that's really the foundation of this church. We teach from the word of God, verse by verse, the apostles' doctrine. We enjoy fellowship of the brethren. We share in communion, and we share in corporate prayer. And that's what we've been doing for 25 years. And God has been faithful through it all, through thick and thin. And here's the thing. It doesn't matter what the discouragers are saying. We need to listen to God. And how important that is to not only know that, but then apply it to your life. You know, it's real easy when things are going well, yeah, I know that everything's fine. Then things go bad. Has anything changed? No. What God has promised, he's more than able to bring to pass. So we defeat the enemy. We put to silence those that are coming against us by the word of God. That's how we do it. And even the unsaved, it's the word of God. It's not my opinion. It's not my feelings. And believe me, I have a lot of feelings. But it's the word of God. And then our last point is destruction of the enemy. Look at verse 18 here in Judges chapter 8. And he said to Zeba and Zalmunna, what kind of men were they whom you killed at Tabor? So they answered, as you are, so were they. Each one resembled the son of a king. Then he said, they were my brothers, the sons of my mother. As the Lord lives, if you had let them live, I would not kill you. And he said to Jether, his firstborn, rise, kill them. But the youth would not draw his sword, for he was afraid, because he was still a youth. So Zeba and Zalmunna said, rise yourself and kill us. For as a man is, so is his strength. So Gideon arose and killed Zeba and Zalmunna and took the crescent ornaments that were on their camels' necks. So Zeba and Zalmunna, these two guys, Midianite leaders, are still around. And Gideon's questioning them about his brothers that were killed, if they had anything to do with it. And I don't think this took place during wartime. I think this was a random act of violence, maybe when they were coming in to take food or whatever. They killed them. And Gideon was going to do the same to them. You know, Deuteronomy 19, verses 11 and 13 says, "But if anyone hates his neighbor, lies in wait for him, rise against him, and strikes him mortally so that he dies, and he flees to one of these cities, then the elders of his city shall send and bring him from there and deliver him over to the hand of the avenger of blood that he may die. Your eyes shall not pity him, but you shall put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel that it may go well with you." In other words, it's kind of like you killed someone. Life is precious to God. He's given us it. Then it's the death penalty for you. Gideon tries to get his son to kill these guys. And he doesn't. He's afraid. We don't know how old he is. How, you know, he could have been young, very young. It says that he was, but we don't have an age group. And the reason that I think he wanted his son to do it was because it would put to shame these rulers to be killed by this young kid instead of a military man. But he refused to do it. And it's kind of interesting. These guys say, "Well, you know, why don't you do it?" Basically, Gideon's like, "Fine. They're dead, right?" I guess they shouldn't have put it that way, but I guess they knew their life was over. What is the enemy in your life? And again, we talked about this in the beginning. All of it, there's a lot of enemies, but it all stems from really three things: the flesh, the world, and the devil. And they all come from one of these. And really, I think it's the devil that really messes with the flesh and the world to get us to do these things or to attack us. And we have to put to death those things. If you're living with your boyfriend, girlfriend, you need to put to death that situation and get out, separate, and then get married, and then come back together again. You can't continue on like that. You're never going to defeat the enemy, but the enemy is going to overtake you. And do you really think that Almighty God is going to let you live in a situation and bless you? What he wants to do is bless you by getting you out of something that is going to hurt you in the end. We need the wisdom of God in our lives if we're going to fight against the enemy. The wisdom from down here is sensual. It's evil. And the wisdom from above, well, James says, you know, it's pure. It's peaceable, gentle, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. But false wisdom from the world is earthly, the flesh within us, sensual, or the powers of darkness tempting us, devilish. And we can overtake it by heeding the word of God. There is such an attack today on morality. And I personally, maybe I'm naive, I never thought it would happen that quickly. But it is. And if you don't take a stand against it, it's going to overtake you. For the most part, the world generally feels that most of us are old people and we're not going to change. Doesn't mean, not, you know, some won't. Some can change, because they do. They change them. But for the most part. So they go after the young. And what they're training them in the school systems is to accept all kinds of immorality. When I did something wrong in school, I got in trouble. Okay, I don't know about you, but I did. I was not a real bad guy, but yeah, there were things I did that weren't right. And I got in trouble. But I not only got in trouble in school, I got in trouble at home. But things have changed a lot. When we were living back in Illinois, my two sons, they're in grade school, had a friend who was mulatto, or half white, half black. And kids were making fun of him, picking on him. And I have to appreciate what my kids did. They went to the principal and they said, "These kids are just continually picking on our friend." And he blew them off. So, again, I'm not proud of this, but it is what it is. I guess I kind of am. I get a call, Actually, the police came to our house with the kids in the back seat. It wasn't really a call. And these are just grade school kids, okay? Like, what in the world did they do? They beat up these other kids that were making fun of their friend. And I mean, it must have been pretty bad because they couldn't take it anymore. So then, you know, we had this meeting with the principal, and basically the thing is, this kid has had problems. He's been in anger management classes and all this other stuff, and they never did anything. The kid that was making fun, okay? Here's the thing, and this is what I told the principal. I said, my sons came to you and asked you for help, and you didn't help, and this is what's happened. Here we are now in the 21st century where you can't even, there's no tolerating anything. And we're not teaching kids how to deal with situations. Adults don't even know how to deal with situations anymore. You know, they'll make a Facebook post. Well, why don't you just call the person and talk to them, or talk to them face to face, because it's much better. You know, my brother had one of my brothers put a post saying that the coronavirus numbers in Texas are just climbing dramatically. And my other brother put, if they stop testing, the numbers won't increase. And Julie goes, well, yeah, and Julie tried to explain to him. And my brother, or was it my sister-in-law that posted, he posted he was being sarcastic. Well, you don't get sarcasm in a text. But my wife knows pretty well that I'm really good at it. In fact, all my brothers piped up, or their wives were piping up. Goes, oh, you should hear Jerry. He's really sarcastic. I'm thinking, yeah, I wonder where he learned all that stuff from. All my brothers are sarcastic. And I guess I'm a good teacher. I don't know. But the thing is, how do we communicate with each other? We've lost the art of communication. And I think we get our news feed, our news media, and some of it's good and some of it's bad. And we don't do the research. Like, this nation was never a Christian nation. I beg to differ. Do the research. Look at it. Were they perfect men? No. If we're going to put statues up of perfect men, there won't be any statues. Okay? These aren't perfect men. But they're men who were godly men who tried to do what was right. Not all. And they weren't perfect. But please don't take away the history. But why do they want to remove the history of Christianity? Because we are a powerful force, God working through his people. Wow. We got to pursue the enemy. Never give in. And even if there's no help from the brethren, don't let it stop you. Never surrender, never give up. I really want to do the Buzz Lightyear thing with that, sorry. Because you know what? The rebellion is going to be defeated. And it's defeated, like I said, with the sword of the Spirit. And there's going to be the destruction of the enemy. You think this is going to continue on forever? No. I don't want to ruin the story for you, but I read the book of Revelation and I know how it ends. And God wins and they lose. So they can fight all they want, but God laughs at them. Why? Because his creation is fighting against the Creator, and there is no way you can win. It is like me when I was a kid trying to fight against my dad. My dad was a boxer, and I thought I was hot stuff. And I'd be there, you know, jumping around and just going like this, and he'd come in and he'd go, boom, 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 boom. I'm like, yeah, how can I defeat my dad? And how can man defeat his God? He can't. We have to be aware of all these things that are going on. Yeah, it's dangerous out there, but God is on our side. Walk in faith, see the salvation that God is going to bring in the situations we face in this life. And I'll close with this. Never surrender, never give up. Walk by faith, because God is still alive and working. He's still on the throne, and lives will still be saved. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you so much for your words this morning. And it's such an encouragement to me, and I pray it's an encouragement to everyone here and those listening on the radio and the internet. Lord, just help us to take these lessons to heart and just walk by faith, see what you're going to do in us and through us, and just never give up, never surrender, but forge ahead in the work you called us to do, that we occupy until you come, continue doing the work you called us to do. We thank you so much, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.